Come on, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better. After having heard the word of faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now I'm going to teach for about 30 minutes or so, and then follow that I'll say heads bowed and eyes are closed. And of course then we'll go to the second part of our Bible study experience, where we will receive our offer, and then we'll have our small groups. And we ask that you would avail yourself tonight to a small group experience. Amen. It will change your life. Amen? Amen. That's how you get to know people. Yes, we're a big church, but we got a small feel with the small group. Amen. Amen. Now tonight in Luke chapter 22, we're going to start a new series of lessons, and it's going to be a series of lessons that I know is going to help you in your everyday life. We're going to talk about how to avoid faith failure. How to avoid faith failure. How to avoid faith failure. All right, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So here Jesus is saying to Peter that Satan has designed a plot to get him. And Jesus says, I can't stop the plot, but I'm telling you, I'm praying for you so that you will make it through this. And I fully expect, Peter, for you to make it through this. And you'll make it through if your faith don't fail. And then after you make it through, then strengthen your brethren. And so faith, the whole subject of faith is what we're going to talk about. We have three divisions. The first division will be the mechanics of faith. We got a lot of new members, and I thank God for that, because that means the Holy Spirit is at work in our church and growth is taking place. Amen. Secondly, we want to talk about it, because even though members who know about faith and heard it before need to be reminded. Paul says, I'll always put you in remembrance. And so the first division is about the mechanics. The second division will be about the mistakes of faith, the mistakes that are made. Because if you don't watch it, you'll think you're in faith, but you won't be. And then the final will be maximizing faith, how to take the faith you have and take it to the next level. So this is a dynamic series of teachings we'll be in for several weeks and months. Amen. But as you go through this, you're going to come out of this very strong in faith. I guarantee you that. Amen. So tonight we want to give an overview of this first lesson on the mechanics of faith. Because if you are going to live a supernatural life, and that is part of our covenant, that we're a life for us as believers, you hear me say it all the time, ought to be better than life was for us as unbelievers. It does not mean that you will not have challenges. It does not mean that you will not be attacked by the devil. And when you're under attack, you don't need to feel any shame. If the devil would attack Jesus, he'll attack us too. But it is by our faith that we overcome these attacks and we walk in victory. The Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Go with your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, because Mark chapter 5, we have a profile of a woman who maximizes her faith. And on the occasion, on this occasion that we'll study, and on other encounters, Jesus credits her faith, as he credits others' faith, for the victory results that they had. The greatest subject for you as a believer, the most important subject for you as a believer, is the subject of faith. After you get saved, you don't ever need to hear another salvation message. You're as saved as you're going to ever be. I did not say another salvation message need not ever be taught, but I said you don't need to hear one, because you are as saved as you're going to be. All you got to do to get to heaven now once you're saved is to die. I know we don't have any takers tonight for the heavenly train. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to know how to live. Well, in order to live the Christian life and to benefit from it, it requires faith. And that's what we're going to see tonight. Are you there in Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5, it's a little reading, but I want to read it because it's going to lay the foundation for us as we begin to study about faith failure. All right, verse 25, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press or in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Watch this now. Verse 34. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So he credited her faith as causing her healing. Her faith caused her deliverance. Her faith caused her to receive the covenant promise from God. And that's the way it's going to be with us. Now, she had many opportunities to give up. She had many opportunities, though she had faith in her heart. Why we know she had faith, as we'll see later in the lesson, she heard. Faith comes by hearing. She said something out of her mouth, and then she demonstrated. She went to touch his garment. But on the way, of course, there was the crowd, and she could have easily given up, but she pressed her way. And that is what is required if you're going to live by faith. You will have to develop a discipline to work the word even when it doesn't appear to be working. Amen, amen, amen. The change in my life came when I understood how to walk by faith and how to work the mechanics of faith. I got born again very young. I got called to preach when I was 9 years old. I grew up there in church, a young preacher, that sort of thing. But I did not know how to use my faith. I heard people talk about it, but nobody ever explained the mechanics of faith to me. This taught me enough faith to get saved, but not enough faith to walk in victory. So much of my young adult life as a believer, it was very frustrating. I was very frustrated because I could see promises in the Bible, but they were not in my life. It was very frustrating because I did not know what to do in order to cause a change in my life. I wanted change. I wanted better, but I had no idea of how to make things better, but I wanted to know. And the Bible says that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. So he is obligated, God is obligated to fill us to the level of our hunger and thirst. I wanted answers. So God now is obligated to make sure I get the answers. And he does it in a lot of unusual ways. I was watching Dr. Frederick K.C. Price teach on television. I was in California, and that was my first introduction into understanding faith. And he was talking, he was teaching. Well, I grew up in an environment of really emotional hooping, and that's what it was about. And very little teaching. Little teaching that was done in Sunday school was basically they'd stand up and read the Sunday school quarterly, but there was no revelation that went forward. And so, but hearing this man teach on the Holy Spirit and then ultimately teach on faith caused the change in my life. And it is those foundational principles that I still live by and that this whole series is going to be built around. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because tonight we have 3 points. Point number 1 will be the spiritual facts about the faith process. Point number 2 will be the scriptural fundamentals about the faith process. And then the final point will be the supernatural future accessed by the faith process. So we're looking at the spiritual facts, the scriptural foundation, and the supernatural future. All right, so if I am going to walk by faith, faith is going to be based on what God's word says. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine has to do with the order of God. If I want to understand the order of God, I go to his word. I don't ask somebody. I don't ask my cousin. Don't ask the talk show host. They don't know the order of God. God has his order written down. That is why I believe God is not mysterious. Y'all know they sang that song. You know, God moves in mysterious ways, and he's mysterious. God is not mysterious. You're never mysterious when you write a book, tell everybody what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to do in the future. So if God is mysterious to you, that's because you haven't read the book. Amen. So now it says, for doctrine, for reproof. Reproof has to do with the pinpointing of error. Because many times we can think we're right, but we're not. And the word of God will pinpoint the error, the mistake, And we have to be honest enough just to own up to it and say, yes, I missed it in that era. For correction. Correction has to do with the exposure to truth. In other words, this is what really the Bible is saying. And this is what is real truth in this particular area. And then it says, for instruction in righteousness. And but that's the part I like. That the word of God will give me a systematic way to apply it, the principles, so that I can get consistent results. I can get consistent results. And that's what it's about. It's about this word working for you. More than you just coming to see me preach, but coming to learn the principles so that you can put them to work in your life. Amen and amen. All right. So now, as we look at the spiritual, at the spiritual facts, faith is most significant, and that is undisputed. It's significant because what I receive from God will be according to my faith. Make a note of this. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 29. The Bible says, then he touched their eyes, and he said to these blind men, according to your faith be it unto you. So you will receive according to your faith. Not according to the faith of the person sitting next to you, but you will receive according to your faith. That's why the building up of faith is a personal thing. It's a very personal thing. It's almost like going to the gym. You can't go to the gym and watch somebody else exercise and walk out there having received the results, you understand? Well, the faith process is the same way. If my faith is going to grow and develop, it will be because I put forth the effort. All right, go with me, Bibles, to Galatians chapter 3. Without faith, I cannot please God. Without faith, I cannot please God. And that is, for those of you taking note, that would be Hebrews 11 and 6. So I need God. I need faith because faith is significant if I'm going to please God. Faith is significant because the promises of God are received by faith. The promises of God are received by faith. So there in Galatians chapter 3 and there in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. The promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. I want you to focus on this because this is the answer to a whole lot of questions that I had. One question I had growing up, because it didn't look like to me God was fair. Why would God bless some and not bless others? Because God responds to my faith. See, even though it's talking about a specific promise, the promise of the Spirit, it is a universal truth. All the promises of God are received by faith. All the promises of God are received by faith. Now go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, because Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, you hear it quoted, but you need to understand how it all ties together. So it says, and so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. So I will only have faith for what I have heard God's word on. I will only have faith for what I have heard God's word on. So if I have not heard God's word on an issue, I won't have faith for that promise. So now that explains why there are people who love God, who are sold out to God, but they have never heard the word of God on prosperity. So they have no faith for prosperity. They've never heard the word of God on healing. So they have no faith for healing. You follow me? Because I will only have faith for what I hear the word of God on. Amen? All right, so the spiritual fact, these spiritual facts, the significance of faith is that the results I get depend upon the development of my faith. Pleasing God, I cannot do it without faith. The promises of God are received by faith, and faith starts where the will of God is known. Now, hunch the person next to you. Hunch them next to you. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Why? How are you going to say that? Because, listen now. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and the word of God contains the will of God, then if I am in scriptural faith, it will start where the will of God or word of God is known. Amen. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Amen. Now, I want you to go with your Bible. Let's look at another passage. Y'all such a smart class. Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. I like this because this is what it's what sells the case, seals the deal, so to speak. It seals the deal. All right. Now, everybody's always kind of like saying, well, that's you. Because if I was you, you know, that's just working for you because you are you. Well, I am me. But faith is a law. See, it's a law. All right, watch this. Verse 27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, when we understand faith is a law, it's kind of like gravity, as it were. Gravity is a law that works for everybody. Got it? It is more like, I would think, of the law of lift. The law of lift is different, that it had to be activated. The law of lift is what causes metal to fly. You ever think about this? Iron, a plane is made of iron. You got it? Steel and iron, and heavy as that thing is, it flies. Amen. Well, it flies because it activates the law of lift. And that law of lift works no matter how big the plane is. If I'm going to get into the physics of that, even though I do know it. But it works all the time. It works all the time. Faith is a law, so faith will work. If you will work it, it will work for you all the time, no matter where you are. Now, back 27 years ago, when there were no very few word teaching churches here in Houston, very few of color, and at that time, I had gone and got infected by faith from Dr. Price. So I'm coming back, you know, ready to start, you know, teaching faith. And all my preacher friends says, now that stuff not gonna work here. It'll work in California, but that stuff ain't gonna work here, because you know how them California folk are. I don't know what he meant by that. Any California folk in the house? Any California folk in the house? I don't know what he meant by that, but that's what he said, you understand? But because I saw in the Bible, it's a law. Amen. It's a law. It's not unique to L.A. It's not unique to, you know, Sacramento. It's a law. So if it's a law, then if I understand how the law works, just like it worked in California, it'll work in Texas. Just like it worked for Dr. Frederick K.C. Price, the apostle now, like it worked for him, it'll work for me. Amen. Like it worked for Crenshaw, it would work for New Light, because it's a law. Everybody say, it's a law. Don't hunch a person and say, it's a law, it's a law. They ain't gonna bother you. Go on, don't hunch them. They ain't gonna bother you. All right, watch this. All right, now watch this. There are some spiritual factors. Go to Colossians chapter 1, because when we talk about operating in faith, it's a spiritual law. So now we understand that we've got to learn some spiritual things in order to maximize it. Verse 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Watch this. It says, for by him were all things created, watch this, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible. Everybody say visible. Visible. And invisible. Now watch this now. There is more to life than what you physically see, than this physical world. Now we already know it. We already know it because, you know, you're able to take out your phone and there's no wire attached to it. And you're able to call all over the world because we understand there are invisible waves and all that kind of stuff. You understand? You know, because we'll accept that. We'll accept that there are some things that are real that we cannot see. So it is, there is a whole nother realm. He says God created things that are visible, but he also created things that are invisible. Amen. Now, how am I going to know about these visible things relative to my faith? That's what the word of God is about. It shows me those things that are real and that are in the realm of the spirit. It is the realm where God exists. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. In this spirit realm that God created, angels are there. In this spirit realm, devils are there. Demons are there. Satan exists. He occupies the realm of the spirit. But go to Ephesians chapter 1 now, because in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to find out that there are things that are in this realm of the spirit. There are things that are there. And it is by faith that we access this spirit arena and we make the transfer of spiritual things over into the natural. Amen. Now tell a person, don't get hung up on that. All right, because I'm going to teach you that. We're going to teach it. We're going to talk about it a little later, but we can teach it to you. But I'm giving an overview. All right, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now, you know, and I won't hurt you to write in your Bible. God's not going to get you for writing in the Bible. I know when we brought up, they told us, you write in that Bible. Well, God's not going to get you for writing in the Bible. I write in all of my Bibles. All right, watch this. I want you to underline the word hath. Not going to, but it says he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where in heavenly places or in this invisible realm. Everything that you will ever need from God first exists in a spiritual form. And it's over there in the spirit arena, and you will access that arena through faith-filled words. When we are speaking, we are doing exactly what God did in creation. You follow me? He made the transfer from the invisible over into the visible. Make a note of John chapter 6 and verse 63. Jesus says, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So as we understand faith, we're going to understand that our words matter. That our words are more than sound that reverberate on the eardrum, but our words have spirit life in them. And one of the key factors in walking by faith and living by faith is knowing how to maximize your mouth and your words. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Because Jesus declared that our words are spirit life, and we use our words in order to activate the law of salvation. Because the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, God made him from the dead. God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I've got to confess with my mouth. I got to say it with my mouth. I got to enter into it with my mouth. I get saved by faith, and my faith is released by the words of my mouth. Now watch this in Mark chapter 11. Here is the classic teaching of Jesus on faith. Now, we will go through every one of these points in the future lessons. Every one of these points, we're going to have a lesson just about on every one of them. But I want to give you an overview of it for the benefit of those who are maybe very young in faith. All right, verse 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe ye receive them, and ye shall what, class? You shall have them. Then he goes on to talk about the condition of the heart, that I have to walk in forgiveness if my faith is going to be effective. But when we look at the mechanics of faith is found in verses 23 and 24. Verse 23 and 24, we like to call it the ABCs of faith. Now, when I am in faith, because a lot of people don't understand, what am I expecting to happen? The expectation of faith is, number one, when I'm walking in faith and I'm living by faith and operating by faith, I'm expecting five things to happen that will bring the manifestation of what I am believing for. Look at the person and say, you need this CD. Tell them, you need this CD. You need this lesson. All right. Number one, I'm expecting a plan of action. A plan of action. Number two, I'm expecting the favor of God. God to raise up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. Number three, I'm expecting the wisdom of God. For I'm expecting the correct application of the knowledge that I already have. Number four, I'm expecting a miracle. I am expecting a move of God that defies human reasoning and human logic. I cannot force a miracle, but I do believe in them. And then number five, I'm expecting strength to endure until change comes. Because as we will learn about the faith process, this is not magic. You will be opposed by the devil, because the last thing he wants you to do is understand how to walk and live by faith. Because when you do that, you will be liberated and you will understand that all things are possible when you live by faith. Amen? All right, now watch this. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, 24, we have the ABCs of faith. A would be the asking point. And we're going to talk about, we're going to teach you about how to ask properly. B is the believing point, that I have to understand, what does it mean to biblically believe? See, that's why you can't miss a Bible study, because if you're going to miss the Bible, you're going to miss one of the lessons that's going to be so critical to you building yourself up in faith. C is the confession point, how I have to speak God's word. How do I do that? How often do I need to do that? How do I say that? How do I take a scripture and make a confession out of it? You're going to learn that in the next few weeks. And then D is the demonstration. Demonstration has to do with, how do I now act in obedience to what I've been saying? Because the scripture says, James 2:17, faith without works is dead, being alone. So I got to make sure now that I have the corresponding actions to go along with my faith. Now, put it real simple. Okay, let's say you're barren and you're believing for a child. Okay, amen. Well, you know, you gotta have sex.
Amen.
Now, that week, some of y'all love it. What do you say? You heard this? Okay. All right. Now. A is what, class? Ask. B is believing. C is confession. D is? All right, now E would be the endurance. Endurance. Sticking with it. Staying with it. All right, watch this. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I gotta stick with it. When I understand this process, I began to work this process, I got to stay with it. I cannot afford to stop. All right, watch this. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let's hold fast. Don't give up. Everybody say, don't give up. You got to hang in there. And look, it took Abraham 25 years to receive his promise.
Amen.
So I got to understand, this is not magic, but it's worth the wait. Now, that don't mean you have to wait 25 years to get the bigger the object of your faith, it may take longer, you know, to produce, you understand? But at the same time, you know, you get results as you go.
Amen.
I told them 25 years, Lord, they went, oh, my God. It's not going to take you 25 years to get you a car. Okay. Ain't going to take you 25 years to get you a better job. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Now. Go down with me now to verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. This is the Bible. The Bible's talking about, I have need of patience or endurance. That one of the key factors of living by faith is the endurance factor. You see? And when you hear that lesson, you learn how to develop the discipline and patience to hang in there.
Amen.
You learn the discipline to hang in there. How to hang in there when it doesn't look like it's working. Because you do know it's working. It's working over there in the invisible realm. God's got angels moving things around, talking to folk, putting folk in the right position. Stuff is working. You just can't see it. But you have to have the confidence in knowing my faith is working. Why? Because God must respect and honor his word. Amen. I forget how many years it was when we declared we dedicate this building debt-free and that sort of thing. And it was a long time before it actually came to pass, but we never gave up. We never quit confessing. We never quit talking about it. Never quit declaring it. Just like we're going to build Love City.
Amen.
Going to build it. Going to build Love City. Yes, we are. Amen. Going to build Love City. Amen. We're going to keep saying it until one day we cut the ribbon and walk in the door.
Amen.
We declared we'd be on television live with our Sunday morning service. Now, we said that back there on Jensen Road. My Lord. Took us a while to get here, but we're here.
Amen.
This is where America. Y'all better hear me now. All right, now. Let's deal, go to Ephesians chapter 3 now, because we want to deal now with the supernatural future accessed by my faith. That's what makes this exciting, is that it is through faith that you can access a supernatural future, a future human reasoning and logic cannot give you. A future that maybe you may not have qualified for based on the stereotypes and statistics of man. A future that only God can give, because as we will find out, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. Now this is the part I might shout on. All right, watch this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, you know, I think that one of the attractions when people come to our church, they have to have a desire to really want to be above average. Because see, New Light challenges your faith. It challenges your lifestyle. Because I'm not teaching some powder puff message here, you know. Just hold on. See what the end going to be. No, I'm telling you, we overcome. We slap the devil in the face and tell him, is that all you got? I mean, that's what we do here. All right, watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this. All right, what did I tell you? Ephesians chapter what? 3. What's that? All right, watch this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, watch this, according to the power that worketh in us. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're talking about a supernatural life. We're talking about stuff they say you couldn't do that you do anyway. And you do it with such ease that they scratch their heads and wonder, now how'd he do that? Faith. Glory to God. That's why I say, I mean, I'm telling you, I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to learn how to walk by. Hey, y'all over there, y'all believe in that hyper faith stuff. Yeah, y'all over there, you believe in that hyper faith. Yes, that's right. I believe in this hyper faith. Extreme faith. I want to be extremely blessed and hyper on top. That's right. That's me. See, I encountered a whole lot of criticism years ago because I was going, you know, hanging around Dr. Price and hanging around Fred, you know, Kenneth Copeland, him, and all that sort of thing. Learning how to use faith, you understand? Amen. Going over to John Osteen, Brother John Osteen, sitting there, you know, getting built up in faith. Yeah. And they all criticized me. Yeah, when you're going out without trying to be white. Black as me, how am I ever trying to do that? Come on now. I can't even blend in. I was getting charged up, getting built up in faith. Luke chapter 1, look what the angel says to Mary. And this is what ought to excite you about your life. Verse 37, Luke 1, 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh my God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Oh my God. All right, the Amplifier says this. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Amen. When human reasoning and logic turn everybody else off, that's when we step up to the plate. We go, nah. We know that with God, nothing is impossible. We understand that where man is limited, that's where God is unlimited. Amen, amen. All right, watch this, watch this. We believe in the supernatural. That is, God will step in. He will intervene in the human affairs. He'll do it miraculously, or he will do it in response to our obedience to spiritual principles. Here are three things that must be in place for you to have the supernatural. Number one, you must have a revelation. There's a revelation that's required to have a supernatural life in Christ. And that's what I just talked to you about, that with God all things are possible. Secondly, there's a relationship. Everybody say relationship. And that relationship is that I am going to, in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. Because of my relationship with God, I believe and I know that him to be a God of miracles. And then thirdly, the resolve. Everybody say the resolve. The resolve required for the supernatural is that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay in here and watch God honor his word. Amen. And even though the woman with the issue of blood did not have the revelation we had, She had the spunk, the guts, the intuitiveness, whatever you want to call it. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. She had lost a lot from doctors. She had been given bad report after bad report. Till he finally told her, just stay home and stay with it. She said, oh, no, I'm going to be healed. And so she bucked the odds and she heard about Jesus. It was the healer. She got up and went to touch his clothes. The crowd was there. She could have given up, but she just wasn't going to quit because she wanted a supernatural life. Amen. Some of y'all are here tonight and your family told you, you ought to quit going over there, but you're still here. Amen. Because you're like that woman. I'm not giving up until I get my miracle. I'm not giving up until I get the promises of God moving in my life. I'm not giving up. I'm going to press my way. And I tell you, she touched the hem of his garments and power came out of Jesus. Amen, amen. And the Bible says she felt. Now, I know Word of Faith folks don't like to talk about feelings, but there is some feelings. Amen, amen. When the power of God hits you, there are some feelings. Now, I'm not putting all mistake in them, but I do not ignore them. Amen, amen, amen. And the Bible says that then Jesus turned and says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen, amen, amen. Now, I close with this. I'm always amazed at what I call the phenomena of divine appointment. And that is, many people in the Bible, as it were, stumbled into their destiny. Moses was just tending to some sheep one day and saw a fire burning. And he went to put out the fire and heard a voice. Amen. David was just simply carrying some supplies to his brothers and saw the giant Goliath and understood this was his moment. I'm hoping tonight that that happens to you. You just thought you were coming to Bible study because the bishop asked you to come and this was the first Bible study of 2012. But I'm believing that something supernatural happens, that this is a moment of destiny for you, that you understand, I got it now. I got it. I got it now. I love Jesus. I know how to worship. I know how to praise. I got it now. I need to get my faith in order. If 2012 is going to be better for me, it will be the result of my faith. And if it can work for Peter, if it can work for this one, if it can work for that one, if it can work for the lady, it can work for me. And the time has worked on me, and I'm out of time. Did y'all get blessed tonight? Woo!